The late moon arose before the first rooster crowed. Kino opened his eyes in the darkness, for he sensed movement near him, but he did not move. Only his eyes searched the darkness, and in the pale light of the moon that crept through the holes in the brush house, Kino saw Juana arise silently from beside him. He saw her move toward the fireplace. So carefully did she work that he heard only the lightest sound when she moved the fireplace stone. And then, like a shadow, she glided toward the door. She paused for a moment beside the hanging box where Coyotito lay. Then, for a second, she was black in the doorway. And then, she was gone. And the rage surged in Kino. He rolled up to his feet and followed her silently as she had gone, and he could hear her quick footsteps going toward the shore. Quietly, he tracked her, and his brain was red with anger. She burst clear out of the brush line and stumbled over the little boulders toward the water, and then she heard him coming and broke into a run. Her arm was up to throw when he leaped at her and caught her arm and wrenched the pearl from her. He struck her in the face with his fist, and she fell among the boulders, and he kicked her in the side. In the pale light, he could see the little waves break over her, and her skirt floated about and clung to her legs as the water receded. Kino looked down at her, and his teeth were bared. He hissed at her like a snake, and Juana stared at him with wide, unfrightened eyes, like a sheep before the butcher. She knew there was murder in him, and it was all right. She had accepted it, and she would not resist or even protest. And then the rage left him, and a sick disgust took its place. He turned away from her, walked up the beach and through the brush line. His senses were dulled by his emotion. He heard the rush, got his knife out, and lunged at the one dark figure and felt his knife go home. And then he was swept to his knees and swept again to the ground. Greedy fingers went through his clothes. Frantic figures searched him, and the pearl, knocked from his hand, lay winking behind a little stone in the pathway. It glinted in the soft moonlight. Juana dragged herself up the rocks on the edge of the water. Her face was a dull pain, and her side ached. She steadied herself on her knees for a while, and her wet skirt clung to her. There was no anger in her for Kino. He had said, "I am a man," and that meant certain things to Juana. It meant that he was half insane and half God. It meant that Kino would drive his strength against a mountain and plunge his strength against the sea. Juana, in her woman's soul, knew that the mountain would stand while the man broke himself, that the sea would surge while the man drowned in it. And yet it was this thing that made him a man, half insane and half God, and Juana had need of a man. She could not live without a man. Although she might be puzzled by these differences between man and woman, she knew them and accepted them and needed them. Of course she would follow him, there was no question of that. Sometimes the quality of woman, the reason, the caution, the sense of preservation, could cut through Kino's madness and save them all. She climbed painfully to her feet, and she dipped her cupped hands in the little waves and washed her bruised face with the stinging salt water, and then she went creeping up the beach after Kino. A flight of herring clouds had moved over the sky from the south. The pale moon dipped in and out of the strands of clouds, so that Juana walked in darkness for a moment and in light the next. Her back was bent with pain and her head was low. She went through the line of brush when the moon was covered, and when it looked through, she saw the glimmer of the great pearl in the path behind the rock. She sank to her knees and picked it up, and the moon went into the darkness of the clouds again. Juana remained on her knees while she considered whether to go back to the sea and finish her job, and as she considered, the light came again, and she saw two dark figures lying in the path ahead of her. She leaped forward and saw that one was Kino, and the other a stranger with dark, shiny fluid leaking from his throat. Kino moved sluggishly, arms and legs stirred like those of a crushed bug, and a thick muttering came from his mouth. Now, in an instant, Juana knew that the old life was gone forever. A dead man in the path, and Kino's knife, dark-bladed beside him, convinced her. All of the time, Juana had been trying to rescue something of the old peace, of the old time before the pearl. But now it was gone, and there was no retrieving it. And knowing this, she abandoned the past instantly. There was nothing to do but to save themselves. Her pain was gone now, her slowness. Quickly, she dragged the dead man from the pathway into the shelter of the brush. She went to Kino and sponged his face with wet skirt. His senses were coming back, and he moaned. "They have taken the pearl. I have lost it. Now it is over," he said. "The pearl is gone." Juana quieted him as she would a sick child. "Hush," she said. "Here is your pearl. I found it in the path. Can you hear me now? Here is your pearl. Can you understand? You have killed a man. We must go away. They will come for us. Can you understand? We must be gone before the daylight comes." "I was attacked," Kino said uneasily. "I struck to save my life." "Do you remember yesterday?" Juana asked. "Do you think that will matter? Do you remember the men of the city? Do you think your explanation will help?"